University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu, scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very, very important, pertinent, timely subject today. What if Jesus had not risen from the grave? We serve a risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Died on Calvary's cross. He was buried, but he didn't stay there. He rose again. And the Bible is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 and following. If Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead, our preaching would be in vain. Our faith would be vacuous, void, and worthless. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question to comment, please. Okay, we lost Jim. Our faith would be vacuous and void. Our preaching would be vain. And thirdly, according to 1 Corinthians 15:15, we would be false witnesses. False witnesses. Ladies and gentlemen, the fourth thing that the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15 about the fact that if Jesus Christ had not risen, we would still be in our sins. I believe Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis has touched on that possibility. That there would be no church today, no Christianity today, no salvation today, no hope today. We would not have that blessed hope if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, let me touch on this at this point, lest I forget it. Next week, Monday through Friday, at this same hour, rather than having our regular call-in talk radio show where you have the opportunity to call in and ask questions, we believe that it'd be fitting and beneficial and edifying for our listening audience. We're going to have a message each day, Countdown to Calvary. Countdown to Calvary. I had the privilege a number of years ago of publishing a book by that title, Countdown to Calvary. And in Countdown to Calvary, it's 405 pages. And on the 405 pages, we cover the Passion Week. The Passion Week includes the servant of the cross, the shadow of the cross, the sorrow of the cross, the scandal of the cross, the scorn of the cross, the silence of the cross, the suffering of the cross, the scoffers of the cross, the scream of the cross, the Savior of the cross, and the summons of the cross. So you might say, what is the summons? Acts chapter 16, verse 15 and following, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the summons of the cross. And I commend the book to you, by the way. You can go online, conservative.edu, and scroll down to the bookstore, find the bookstore, and place your order for this book. It is Countdown to Calvary, a biblical survey of Passion Week, 405 pages, about 24, 25 chapters, and it covers all that I just mentioned. We're covering a portion of that on the broadcast next week. We'll cover the Countdown to Calvary, a different message in that sequence and series of messages for Passion Week. And I pray that you'll tune in each and every day and listen to the next portion of Countdown to Calvary and the messages each day that build up to and including the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll hear that. Pray that you'll invite others to join with you and listening. And I pray that it will be edifying and a blessing to you. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis are with us today as we talk about what if Jesus had not risen. Let me ask the question, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, do we have any evidence in the Scripture, any proof in the Scripture that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Ladies and gentlemen, when you have a court of law, if there's anything in the court of law that's being prosecuted, promulgated, and pushed, there must be what is called eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses. Dr. Phelps, do we have any eyewitnesses in the Scripture that will validate the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead?
There are many testimonies of the resurrection of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that it is an historical fact. That's one of the things I would suggest.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul tells us that there were many of the followers of Christ who saw Jesus after his resurrection. And so I look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he says that after we read in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, and the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," that's the Apostle Peter, "and then of the 12," that's all the disciples. "After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once," that's believers, Christians, and he says many of them are still with them, "but some were fallen asleep," meaning some that had already passed away. "After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time." The Apostle Paul saw the Lord Jesus after his resurrection. The Bible tells us also of elect angels who were witnesses of the resurrection. There was the empty tomb, and one of the angels said to the disciples, "He's not here. He's risen." And then we're told that there were times when many of the disciples were together, a crowd of those who were followers who saw Jesus. And then we have the Word of God. The Bible is our witness of the resurrection. And I'd like to say this, that every believing Christian on the face of the earth is a testimony of the resurrection of Christ. For Romans chapter 10 says that we should believe on the name of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Therefore, it's part of what we say believing. Part of believing is recognizing that Jesus is alive today.
Amen. It's a faith factor.
Yes.
Now, I've used the term, Dr. Phelps, in fact, in my book, Countdown to Calvary. I outline, I believe it is 12 evidences of the proof of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ with the eyewitnesses, and it's a little bit unusual, perhaps, but I call it the preponderance of evidence. First of all, the stone is gone. Secondly, Jesus Christ, the Savior, is gone. When they get to the tomb, they find the tomb open. The Savior is gone. He's not there. Why is that so? He is risen. So, Dr. Davis, another question in relationship to that, and I've got outlined, by the way, 12 different eyewitness factors in relationship to the proofs of the evidence of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And I've used this term as one of them. Dr. Davis, respond to this and your thoughts on it. Each and every one of us, we have seen Jesus' resurrection through the eyes of faith as Dr. Phelps just referred to a moment ago, in relationship to being the faith factor. So how do we communicate with a person, a believer, that says, well, you know, I believe Jesus was a real person. I believe that he's Savior. But they reject the fact that he is physically, bodily resurrected. And there are a number of Christians that do that today. How do you address that? What do you say to that person that may be listening today that says, I'm a Christian, but I do not believe that he physically rose from the dead?
Well, the number one thing I would do, Dr. Youngblood, is to tell them to seek the Lord even the more. Because maybe you might not even be saved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have to question your salvation if you say that you don't believe that Christ bodily rose from the dead, because two of the main things besides the first century Christians that I spoke about, they believe these people went to the chopping block,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Youngblood, because they were there. They were eyewitnesses, once again,
right,
you know, of everything that Christ did. And if you look at all the apostles, basically every one of them were martyred except John
mm-hmm.
on the Isle of Patmos.
Right.
But everybody else died a horrible martyr's death because of that faith and belief in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely.
So now listen, there are so many other things that stick out, but two things I do want to point out. Number one, the tomb is still empty.
Right.
We know that. It's,
right.
It's empty today.
Right.
So we still have that as proof of his resurrection. And then we have the promises Dr. Phelps so greatly pointed out in his explanation. The word of God, what's listed in the word of God? Christ gave his word. So listen, if his word doesn't mean anything, then that means you don't have anything.
Okay.
But it's in you. It's not in the power of his word. It's not that the power of the word is failing. It's that your faith has failed you. Perhaps you don't have the faith. But when we go to St. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, just one verse, it says, from that time forth, this is when the disciples were with him, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. There's a promise to the disciples, the first century people, as I spoke about earlier, about what was going to take place in his life, and they saw these things come to pass. Now, when we go to St. Luke, Dr. Phelps pointed that out too, about the 500 brethren and others who saw him after his resurrection. They did not know that for a fact until he actually walked with those down the Emmaus Road,
mm-hmm.
and he reached back and grabbed the scriptures and opened that up to them in order for them to believe. And then after they heard all of that, they said, did not our hearts burn?
That's right. Absolutely.
Amen. So listen, he'll light a fire in your heart.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Now,
if you just believe.
Footnote to that. Touch on this quickly, and we'll take our next caller. Read in the text. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10.
Amen. Romans, I was just over there a while ago, 10. And
two,
9
two
and
verses.
10.
9 and 10.
All right. It said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, ETH, continuously, not one time.
Right.
Amen. You keep believing unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
The point being, in those two verses alone, a person that rejects, disbelieves, do not embrace by faith that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he is not saved.
Amen.
Dr. Phelps?
One of the things I've learned and I'm convinced about is that God employs the Word of God to bring us to believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's based on Romans 10:17.
Right.
And God, or two things I learned also. The other thing is that God employs the Spirit of God to bring to us the breath of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so God has a way of bringing us to believe on his Son. And it all boils down to believing because of the entrance of God's Word, God working in us through His Word and by His Holy Spirit to bring us to become a believing Christian.
Amen.
There are plenty of Christians in the world. They profess that they are the people of God. They profess that they believe in Christ. But until they actually believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and the resurrection proves that, they simply are just Christians. They're not believing Christians.
That's right. Absolutely. There's a vast difference in that. I believe we have Santiago on the phone. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
God bless you, Dr. John Block, and all you guests. Yes, it's like you say in Romans 10, if you don't confess it with your mouth that Jesus Christ resurrected from the that you are not saved. And a lot of people, they say they are Christian, but they are far from to be a Christian. But you to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to do what he said in the Bible, you know. People, they think, saying I'm Christian, but they are mild from to be a Christian, and they don't confess it, you know, with the act, what they do. You know, I believe that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, and he's coming for me in the second. When he's coming, I'm planning to be in that big wedding that he's expecting me. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a nice weekend.
Santiago, you stated it so succinctly and so well. You're exactly right. Thank you so much for your call. And I pray that each and every listener today, you can go back in a point and place and time in your mind's eye and reflect on that time where you said, Lord Jesus, I don't understand it. I cannot fathom it. But I believe that you are a God come in the flesh, that you died on the cross for my sins. If I'd been the only person in the world, you shed your rich red royal blood on Calvary's cold, callous, cruel Roman cross. You died. You were buried. On the third day, you rose again. And I place my faith, trust in that finished work on Calvary. That's what we celebrate Resurrection Sunday about.
Amen.
We celebrate the resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, in order to become a believing Christian, a change must take place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Along with confession, let me say before confession, along with that comes repentance. Mm-hmm. That simply means to change your mind, change direction, turn around, 180. There's a 180 that's got to take place. So that means you separate yourself from those unbelieving thoughts, and now you root yourself and ground yourself in the promises concerning the Word of God, because if you want to know the truth, it is printed.
Absolutely.
It's the Word of God.
Absolutely. And Dr. Davis, continuing on that thought, we place our faith and trust in that. And as you see in the Scripture, where the 500 witnesses, you see where Jesus appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus, you see where Jesus appeared to one disciple, then to two of them, then to all 11 of the disciples at one time, and the 500 at one time. Over and over and over again, we see the evidences of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ proven in the Scripture, but it takes faith, the faith of an individual, believe that that's what God said and that settles it.
Amen.
And what I say,
amen.
In fact, I've recorded in the book, The Countdown to Calvary, one of the things that I touched on was the power of the resurrection. And I stated, first of all, as a result of the resurrection, the change of the disciples' witness. For example, Peter, who had denied the Lord Jesus three times, stood and was willing then at Pentecost to preach that message where 3,000 people were saved. The Apostle Paul, the Scripture says, hazarded his life for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, it was that challenged the intellectuals and the agnostics on Mars Hill. He said, I perceive that in all things ye do is superstitious, in Acts chapter 17. Paul confronted King Agrippa with his testimony, the faith in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it didn't just change the disciples' witness. The resurrection of Jesus changed the day of worship.
Amen.
Speak
Amen.
To that, Dr. Phelps. Change the day of worship. Why do we worship on Sunday?
We worship on the first day of the week, the day that Jesus arose from the dead. We celebrate a living, risen Savior. We do not go back to the old covenant, the law, they met on Saturday. And so we are distinct from the people of Israel. I'd like to say it just, if I may, mm-hmm. that Israel is God's chosen earthly people. And God gave them the Sabbath to set them apart from all other people in their distinction before God. But we're not of that group of people. We're a new assembly of people.
Right.
And the church is distinct from Israel because we have a living, risen Savior, and we worship Him on the Lord's Day.
It's the Lord's Day that
Amen.
We worship the Lord
Amen.
Jesus Christ. It is the celebration day of the resurrection of Jesus.
Amen.
Every Lord's Day, it is designed for we as believers to look back in retrospect of what Christ has done on the cross in His death, burial, and resurrection, and soon coming again.
And then again, Dr. Youngblood, that still speaks volumes, because if you listen, very well explained by Dr. Phelps. These were first century Jews who were still yet keeping the Mosaic law. Let's remember now, Jesus didn't preach from the New Testament. It wasn't written. Mm-hmm. Okay, He never preached from that. When the book was handed to Him in the temple, the scripture fell on the book of Isaiah, and He read from that. The scrolls the priests used in the temple were Old Testament scripture. Mm-hmm. So what we need to understand for us today, if the first century Jews who were commanded to keep the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath and keep it, were willing to change the worship day to the first day of the week, that should speak volumes, because Christ, the scripture says, He is the Lord of the Sabbath.
Right.
When we go to Romans 9 and 29, one verse, and Esaias, or the prophet Isaiah, said before, except the Lord of Sabbath, it says Sabbath, but means the same thing, Sabbath, had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and had been made like unto Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. Cities that were cursed, that were destroyed because they were pagan cities that did not accept the salvation of God, the man of God, Lot being right there. And the scriptures say He was vexed with the type of life that the people lived. But I'm sure, and the scripture doesn't say that, but I'm pretty sure if He was a preacher like us, I'm sure He got out there and tried to preach the word, but He was rejected.
Absolutely.
So they didn't realize they wasn't rejecting Lot, they were rejecting God.
Right.
Amen? So let's not let that happen today.
And one of the things you touched on that reminded me of that. I've got a little note here about research that was done by the Scripps Howard News Agency and the University of Ohio. Two things that were pertinent in their research. The majority of Americans no longer believe in the resurrection of the physical body. Majority of Americans no longer believe in the resurrection of the body. Secondly, most Americans do not believe that they will ever experience a resurrection of their bodies when they die. That's the majority of the people in America today. That tells us where we are, how far we've gone in the paganization of our nation and of our society. And yet we have multitudes today that claimed that they're saved and that they're Christians, and yet they do not recognize and understand anything about the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've not embraced that. Dr. Phelps, you're about to say something.
Yes, sir. The Apostle Paul said in his preaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, also to the Greek. Well, you know, you see, his resurrection is part of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot be claim to be a Christian, believing Christian, without believing the gospel.
That's right.
And the gospel then contains that element, that vital element of the resurrection of Christ. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. And he went on to say in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians that he was preaching the testimony of God.
Yes.
The testimony of God is that Jesus arose from the dead.
Absolutely.
So if we do not believe in the resurrection, we're rejecting the testimony of God, and that's another vital element in what we call faith. Faith is formed in us when we receive and respond correctly to the gospel.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And you go back into Scripture, Dr. Phelps, and I'm reminded of that. You find those Peter and Paul and John, all of them preached about the resurrection.
Yes.
Amen.
In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and following, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Apostle Paul, because there were so many that were looking just at a few thoughts rather than looking at the total picture. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, speaking about Jesus, Paul said, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Romans chapter 6, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And you touched on it earlier, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins according, kata, based upon the Scriptures.
Amen.
We have so many today that disbelieve, do not embrace, do not share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of his death, burial, and resurrection.
Mm-hmm. So another thing, Dr. Young, that's a dangerous position to be in.
Yes.
Because guess what? You may not have a covenant with him because you don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is the ratifier of the new covenant, huh? And that's where we are. We're the new covenant church, New Testament church today.
Amen.
And if you don't believe, you don't have a covenant relationship with God, which guarantees forgiveness of sins and restored fellowship.
So our challenge to our listeners today is to embrace and to believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of our sons, Greg, wrote this. On Friday, Peter is asleep. Judas has betrayed Jesus. Mary is crying. Hope is lost. Death is won. Satan is laughing. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. A rock is rolled in place. But Sunday is coming.
Bye-bye.
I'm looking forward to that.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once
again
as we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM.